got to tell you that my wife and I have taken some incredible trips in our lifetime, and that's relevant to the story that I'm about to share with you this evening. You see, in 2011, we decided we were going to go to Machu Picchu in Peru. And for those of you that have seen the photographs, you know where I'm talking about, this incredible archaeological marvel built in the middle of the 15th century, 8,000 feet up in the Peruvian Andes and at the height of the Inca Empire. And our obsession was getting to Machu Picchu. So we planned this trip and we did some research, but apparently not enough, because when when we landed in Lima, we discovered a bunch of things which we hadn't known about in advance. And first and foremost, there are only two ways to get to Machu Picchu. You either sign on with an outfitter and take a three-day trek along what's called the Inca Trail from Cusco, and that was not exactly our cup of tea. We weren't prepared for that at all. The other way is by train. And the other thing we learned in Lima was that 2011 was the centennial anniversary of the rediscovery of Machu Picchu and its exposure to the outside world. And tickets would be very hard to come by. We didn't even know you needed tickets. But so the third thing, and this is really critical, they also told us that tickets to get into the archaeological site, which is now in a national park, are sold out for the next 3 weeks. And train tickets are sold out. So here we are, and getting very anxious and nervous, and we take our next flight to Cusco. And when we get into the airport at Cusco, we're starting to walk to the baggage area. And I happen to notice a kiosk, an informational kiosk, and there's a big sign that says Global Tours, and it's superimposed over a large photograph of Machu Picchu. And I go up to the agent there, and I say to him, I tell him where we want to go. And contrary to what I had just learned an hour or so ago in Lima, this guy is saying, "Oh, for $900, you know, senor, no problemo. We can get you to train tickets. We can get you to Machu Picchu. We can get you back again. We can pretty much do anything you'd like." And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've made some terrible decisions in my life. Especially when I was desperate, which I was at this point, and wondering and hoping that the next decision that I'm about to make will turn out okay. So I go to an ATM machine, and I withdrew about $900, and I go back to the kiosk where this guy is, and all I hand him the money, and all I get in return is a nondescript receipt and him telling me that his boss, Victor, will come to our hotel in the evening and give us our train tickets and everything else we need to get to Machu Picchu. So we leave the kiosk and we head out into the parking lot where our driver is waiting to take us to a hotel. And she says, "What took you so long? Your plane landed about 45 minutes ago." And we proceed to tell her the story, and she goes, "Oh no, I think you've been taken. This is a scam." So the emotional elevator that we were on now has hit the basement. And, so she drives us to the hotel, and she immediately tells the manager in the hotel what just transpired in the airport. And his response is, "You've got to go to the tourist police downtown and issue and write out a complaint. You need to do this right away." And we do that. We jump in a taxi and get to downtown to the tourist police, and we write out a complaint, and the police officer who was there, he spoke some English, and says, "You know, I've got two problems with what you've just written here. The first problem is that your tour isn't supposed to start until tomorrow, and the second problem is that Global Tours is a legitimate travel agency here in Cusco." So we jump in another taxi and head up to about 12,000 feet to the Global Tours office. I mean, the altitude wasn't bothering us at this point. We were drinking a lot of tea with coca leaves in it. They say that's supposed to help you. But wondering how we're going to get to Machu Picchu, that was still on our minds. And we get into this travel agency and wait about 20 minutes, and sure enough, this enigmatic Victor shows up with a stack of papers under his arm and an attractive woman at his side. And he starts to show us. He says, I've got everything I need from you guys, your passport numbers. I'm going to go get you train tickets right away. You go back to your hotel and relax, and somebody will come to your hotel in the evening and get you all set up. So we do that. We go back to the hotel, and sure enough, about 7 p.m. that evening, we go down into the lobby of the hotel, and there's a tall, mysterious-looking man there with a black trench coat on and a fedora, and he motions to us to follow him. And we do. He takes us through these darkened alley streets in Cusco, walking over cobblestones, and we finally get to an office. And in that office, somebody hands us two train tickets and tells us that a driver will be waiting at our hotel in the morning. His name is Raul, and he'll take us to the train station in Ollantaytambo, which is where you catch the train, to Machu Picchu. And so we go back to our hotel, get up the next morning feeling like this is really happening, and get out of the hotel, and sure enough, Raul is there with his car, and we jump in the car, and he takes us to the train station. We get on the train, and a few hours later, we are in Aguas Calientes. That's the little town in the valley just below Machu Picchu, and we get out of the train, walk across the plaza, go to our hotel, check in, and we still don't have our tickets, but we're into the park or how we're going to get there. But sure enough, that evening, somebody comes to our hotel, knocks on our room door, walks in, introduces himself as, he looked like a park ranger. He had this shirt on with all these patches on it and everything like that. And he looked very professional, and he says, I'm going to be your guide tomorrow. This is where you got to meet me, and we're going to get you into the park. And so we're really feeling good now. And next morning we go and we take a little bus from the plaza in Aguas Calientes, and we get over to the park, and we're about to enter the park, and we see a guide there, and he's got a group around him, about 10 people, and we're supposed to join that group. These are people from all different countries. And the guy, he makes sure everybody's accounted for, and he says, follow me. And he starts to run up this narrow trail, running over stones and rocks and climbing over steps. And I'm yelling to him, slow down, I'm 64 years old. And he looks at me and he keeps on going. He wanted to get up to this spot where the trail opens up and you get to this place where you just look out onto the Machu Picchu. And you look at the terraced farms and there are llamas grazing on the grass there, and you see these ancient temples and buildings, and it's a spectacular sunny morning, and the temperature is just right, nice and cool, and we look at each other, and we say, oh, wow, we've finally made it. Here we are. So that is pretty much the end of the story, but I've written many more details about this story and other trips we've taken, along with my life as a basketball player and running a nonprofit organization here in Baltimore. I've written this in a memoir called Teaming Up. And if anybody's interested, you can see me afterwards and I can get you a copy. So thank you very much for listening to my story.